Hello and welcome to what will hopefully be the first of many audio blogs that get posted on the Film Rant website. If you're listening to me through iTunes, thanks for staying subscribed. Not too sure how often these things will go out, but they'll happen when they happen. So anyway, for the first audio blog, I've decided to do a Quid Shop Corner piece. And it's a DVD that I've actually had a copy of for some time, but only very recently got around to actually watching it, and it's Toby Hooper's Crocodile.
What was that?
That was the Creature of Lake Sobek.
The Creature of Lake Sobek.
Okay, so as I say, Crocodile is a movie from 2000 directed by Toby Hooper, the man, of course, who brought us classics like The Texas Chainsaw Massacre and at least partially Poltergeist. But you'd be forgiven for not really knowing that it existed, to be quite honest with you. It's pretty much what you would think it is from the reputation of the director himself and the name of the film, in that it's a bunch of teens who head out into the middle of nowhere and start to get picked off by a giant crocodile. So no surprises there. Things get going with some fairly typical up-tempo cheesy pop punk, and we're introduced to the first of the main characters. One of them is the dull guy who will inevitably go on to be one of the heroes, and the other is the typical wise-ass best friend who is constantly telling people to chill out and have fun and stop being so uptight and stuff like that. A deep and meaningful conversation about the similarities between sex and pizza is interrupted when another carload of teens pull up by the side of them, and it turns out that they are best friends with Dullard and Wiseass, and after a little fooling around with some water pistols and some mild nakedness, we're all happily heading towards some kind of lakeside destination for what appears to be a kind of spring break type situation. It turns out the actual venue itself is really more of a harbour than any kind of beach. But we still get plenty of firm asses in bikinis and red and white plastic cups filled with whatever happens to be in the nearest kegger.
Hey! Are you balls all down for a kegger? Party top!
So the rest of the gang show up and start loading up their gear onto the boat that they will be using, which I have to say is perhaps one of the most flimsy monstrosities I think I've ever seen. Honestly, it looks like a floating replica of like a 1960s caravan. But the one good thing is, obviously, you immediately get the feeling that at some point this is basically just going to be a toothpick for the giant reptile of the title. So, who are the teenage dirtbags that we have on board? Well, in addition to Dullard and Wiseass, we've also got Goody Two Shoes, who is Dullard's girlfriend. We've got Slutty, we've got Drunk Guy, we've got City Bitch, and we've got Local Exposition Dude. So, we've got all the character bases covered, and everyone gets busy having fun in the sun. But when the day turns to night, it becomes time for a campfire and a predictable tale of a local legend, courtesy of Local Exposition Dude.
See, Kid's got this story, and he's gonna die if we don't let him tell it.
No, never mind, guys. I don't think you guys can handle it.
Oh, come on, man, tell your story.
All right, first, let me just start by saying I didn't make any of this up, right? It's completely true. And it all happened right here. Right up at that old hotel, right up there.
That's
see, the guy who built it. This guy by the name of Harlan Clemens.
Oh. Harlan Clemens. Wait a minute, isn't that Mark Twain's real name or something?
No, no. See, he imported this massive crocodile. Flat, though.
What's what the Africans call the now crocodile?
Anyway, the croc was supposedly a descendant of the ones the pharaohs rode into battle.
Coach, shut up, right? Shut up.
Yeah, shut up, will you? He's trying to speak.
Yeah, my point is, this guy Harlan set up a shrine for this monster. And he practically started a cult. He thought that he could use this beast to harness the powers of the ancient Egyptian crocodile god, Sobek. Listen, so the townspeople are about to run Harlan out of town because of his unchristian ways. Then something miraculous happened. Monster laid eggs. Who knows how she got pregnant?
Now, obviously, local exposition dude is a little bit too serious for people like Wise Ass and Drunk Guy, so while Slotty is busy laughing it up and Dullard and Goody Two Shoes are having a little bit of a cuddle, local exposition dude is having to deal with comments like,
"Lick my hairy right now."
Now, obviously, this is a DVD that I'm featuring on Quid Shop Corner, so let's face it, it was never going to be Schindler's List.
Can we just fast forward to the flying guts and assholes or something?
But I would offer up at this point my biggest criticism of Crocodile here, in that, knowing what's coming, it would have been nice to actually feel something for any of these characters, which is just impossible to do. They all act within the same generic stereotypes that I've mentioned, but they are in fact just so generic that you can neither hate them or care for them. If I could hate them, then I could look forward to them being killed off further down the line. But on the other hand, if I was interested in them or cared about them in any way, I could at least root for them and hope that they survive. But unfortunately, there's just nothing going on with any of them. The closest you actually get to character is Wiseass, who desperately tries to do this smarmy, charmy thing, but he just really kind of fails. If you think of Robert Downey Jr. in Weird Science, he's a little bit like that, but without any suggestion of talent whatsoever. So anyway, yeah, back while the campfire story's going on, we get our first kill, but it's none of the actual kids that we've come to know and feel absolutely nothing for. Instead, it's two drunk redneck fishermen who are wandering about around the marshlands and inexplicably just decide to pick up these eggs and these giant crocodile eggs that they found and just start throwing them around. It isn't actually a bad kill, and it does lead to one of the few moments in the film where you actually get a taste of who is actually behind the camera. As redneck number two is kind of running away, there's a crocodile point of view shot, and this is as the crocodile is kind of chasing him to his car. And then when the croc actually gets there and finishes munching him, it actually pushes the car with him in it into the river. Although I'm not quite sure why. Destroying the evidence, maybe? I don't know. I didn't know that was something that crocodiles did. So yeah, later though, the kids turn up and find some eggs and they start chucking the eggs around. And the city bitch's dog even has a bit of a snack on one of them. Which obviously in turn helps send Mrs. Crocodile on her own rampage of revenge as the story goes on.
Yo, check this out, man. Talk about getting laid.
Man, it's like from an ostrich or something.
Or a beaver.
Hey, you guys should leave those things alone, all right?
Yeah, who brought Dad along?
Hey, Duncan, there's a living creature inside of there, all right? Yo, grow up.
Yo, check out this creature.
I live inside of something nice.
Is that an egg in your shorts? You just got a happy series.
Now, you actually wouldn't know it from that clip, but all the while that was going on, Mrs. Crocodile was actually watching from the reeds and doing absolutely nothing about it. We find out later that all the action that takes place is based on the fact that Mrs. Crocodile wants vengeance for the people who've been fucking around with her babies. And while I can suspend disbelief enough to accept that a crocodile might be capable of premeditated revenge, I do struggle with the fact that she would rather do that than protect her eggs in the first place. So it's a bit silly. Anyway, that's something that I'll come back to, as it basically makes the entire ridiculous ending of the film completely irrelevant. So before I go there, are there any positives to Toby Hooper's Crocodile? Well, there are some really nice location shots. You get some nice views of the marshlands, and at night, these marshlands do kind of get creepy enough to serve as a great backdrop for a killer crocodile. In fact, some of the actual scenery in the daytime reminded me a little bit of I Spit on Your Grave, or possibly even The Burning, So if nothing else, it does kind of give you some idea of what Hooper might have created if he'd have plumped for one of those movies all those years ago. Also, there are a couple of decent kills to be had and some nice practical effects, which I'm always happy to see. A couple of the kills involve jump scares, and one or two of them involve these sort of heavy practical effects with people being split in two and stuff. So you do get some moderate B-movie fun, but it never gets too extreme. You do, however, get heartwarming moments like this.
This is a perfect moment.
What are you talking about?
Listen to the wind. And the trees, God, it's so beautiful out here. And I'm here with my perfect boyfriend.
You're right about that.
Plus, wonderfully stereotypical and expositional redneck warning dialogue like this.
Takes a lot to sever a spine. You see a crocodile's teeth intertwine. It snaps shut with 40 tons of pressure. I can't tell you how bad this is, Sheriff. You see, crocodile usually finishes her meal. She ain't doing this because she's hungry. She's on a rampage. Whoever messed with them eggs made her good and mad.
Now, one other criticism that I do have, though, about Crocodile is I was hoping for a bit of decent follow-up on, I don't want to call it a subplot because that makes it sound a little bit grander than it is, but basically drunk guy puts a crocodile egg in the rucksack of Goody Two Shoes and she keeps hold of it for the rest of the film. So you kind of expect that at some point this demonic little baby crocodile is going to come out and cause havoc and maybe rip her throat out. But it actually ends up just being a plot device for a more stupid and confusing way of actually ending the film. Obviously, the spoiler flag is up for this film, and it's not like I can recommend giving up 90 minutes of your life for this anyway, so I may as well just tell you what happens. At the end of the film, when there's just Dullard, Wiseass, and Goody Two Shoes left, and it seems that they're all about to die, Goody Two Shoes manages to find the egg in her rucksack, and she holds it out in front of Mrs. Crocodile, at which point the egg hatches, and the mewling baby crocodile jumps out of her hand and into the mouth of its mother. And as a thank you, Mrs. Crocodile just turns round and goes back into the water and bang, fade to black, the end. Now, this fucks everything up. First of all, fucks everything up in two ways, mainly. First of all, if we're supposed to believe that this is an animal that is a calculated revenge machine, I'm going to argue that she still probably would have killed those three anyway before taking the baby away. Secondly, if she really did care about that much about one single one of her babies, I'm pretty sure she would have acted earlier when the teens were chucking the eggs around. It's got more holes than Swiss cheese, and overall, this is a pretty poor show from a man that we know, let's face it, is capable of much better. There is one particular moment where the local sheriff kind of wanders into this redneck hideout, and there's kind of alligator carcasses and bones hanging around and kind of blowing in the wind. And yes, it does feel a little bit Texas Chainsaw, but you rarely get anything that feels like it's particularly crafted by the hand of a genre legend. The story is interesting enough, but it goes into a bit of a lull around the third act, and you've basically just got a bunch of people whining and walking around in the dark. And as I've said, the fact that the characterization is pretty much non-existent at this point doesn't really help things. Effects-wise, for the most part, it's bearable, and the practical work is fine. Unfortunately, the film feels as if when it gets into sort of climax mode that we need some CG. So what we actually get is a shocking CG crocodile that really looks worse than... It reminded me a little bit of one of those BBC dinosaur documentaries from a few years back, but actually much worse. Not good. All in all, it's a bad B-movie that really lacks any kind of charm. It's a disappointing entry in a decent director's back catalogue. And although it's harmless enough, Toby Hooper's Crocodile isn't really as much fun as it probably could have been.
I've had some bad spring breaks. 92 was a doozy, but Jesus Christ.